10 years ago today, the Columbine High School massacre. 15 people ended up losing their lives that day as two kids went on a rampage with guns and caused a lot of stress and a lot of panic in the community and a lot of reflection in the American community in particular. It's the anniversary, of course, and Michael Tamborello is the founder and editor of a group called Lullaby for Columbine Project. And he joins me this morning from Columbine, I believe. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Russ.
Look, good to have you on the show. And listening to that 10 years on, gee, it's still, I mean, it sends a shiver down my spine. I can't imagine what it does for people like yourself.
Oh, absolutely. It's something, especially it's so foreign to us because at that time we had never witnessed something like this, or certainly something this major in scale. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that we related to Jonesboro or Springfield, Paducah, some of the other places that were unfortunate also in having such a tragedy happen in their communities. But, you know, you just don't think it's going to happen to you.
No.
And what happened to us, we couldn't even get our hands around it for weeks. It was just beyond anyone. Our governor was even stupefied.
Well, yeah, I think the whole world was, Michael. You set up a charity organization called Lullaby for Columbine Project. Tell me all about that. What drove you to do that, and what were you hoping to achieve?
Well, it's really interesting because it was truly a domino effect in so many ways. And, of course, you can learn more about it in detail on our websites, both lfcnews.com and lullabyforcolumbine.com or columbinecd.com. But at any rate, it started out with just something that – I'll take it all the way back to the first day. I was watching a makeshift memorial with my daughter that was occurring downtown at her Civic Center Park, and it was on the second day, I think it was the 21st, if I recall that was happening. And as things were still unfolding at the scene, the crime scene, they had this makeshift memorial, and I felt a stirring within to finally do something. I wanted to step forward and offer something to the community that would bring about healing or induce something that would bring some kind of a solution or play a role, a collective role anyway, in doing that. And it started out with a song that I'd written for my daughter. Being a musician and composer, my goal was, well, look, that was the channel I wanted to do it through. And within a short while, word grew fast, quickly about it. And before you know it, I mean, I've got all these artists from around the country who want to get on board.
Mm-hmm.
And within a very short while, we ended up with over $250,000 of in-kind donations and hundreds of artists that want to get on board. And we had to nail it down to about maybe 16 or 17 because you can only fit so much on a CD.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of major corporations like Sony Disc Manufacturing came to the scene to cover a lot of the costs for manufacturing of the CDs. And Drew Struzan, Star Wars illustrator, one of the most well-known Hollywood movie poster designers, did our album cover. Splendid work. Four-time Grammy Award winner David Glasser got on board to do our mastering, which is critical for a compilation CD because music comes from different sources. And they all have varying sound qualities, and he brought it all together and made it sound like it all came from the same source.
Yeah. Michael, I was just going to say, I suppose for you, you went down this path because you were looking for somewhere to channel your anxiety and your despair. Did you achieve what you set out to do? Did it help?
Wow. Beyond imagination, when I saw all this energy and talent and ambition coming from all directions, blew my mind. The artistry, Adrian Blue, who was a very well-known guitarist, wanted to get on board. He brought on Rick Altizer, who was producing, another Christian artist. These are people I had no concert with or connection with beforehand, and I started the whole thing with nothing more than a penny in my pocket. Quite frankly, I went out and got a nonprofit book, How to Start an Organization. I never even cracked the book open. I learned out from the seat of my pants overnight, and it was just amazing. And not only myself, my role in this thing is small. I have to give my board of directors credit and the cast of thousands that played a role behind the scenes in one form or another that really brought it to fruition. And by the end of that year, we went local in our CD, that is statewide, and within this way, by April 20th the following year, we went national with the help of Musicland Corporation.
Michael, 10 years on, is it still something people talk about in the community every day?
I'm sorry?
10 years on, is it still something people talk about in the community every day?
The tragedy?
Yep.
At Columbine?
Yep.
Well, I have no way of really tracking or monitoring that, but I know it's on the lips of people. I put it this way. I think the best way I can answer that is we have the new Columbine Memorial that's up, and every time I go there, I don't care what day of the week or the year it is, there's always people there, always, and more than one. You know, you're talking about anywhere from a dozen to a half dozen. So it, obviously it's touched the community. I know there's a lot of locals that visit there regularly, and, of course, a lot of people that fly here nationally and even internationally, that's one of the places they want to visit, make a pilgrimage to.
Mm. How long? From your observation, Michael, how long did it take the community to get up and stand up on its own 2 feet afterwards? Or maybe it hasn't. Maybe the community's still trying to do that 10 years on.
Define what you mean by standing up on its own 2 feet.
Well, because, you know, you made international headlines, and people looked at Columbine, and, you know, the word Columbine automatically meant a terrible, terrible thing, and that must knock a community about a lot.
Well, yes. I guess the best way to answer that is from the perspective of healing, and I think a lot of that's been brought about by the fact that so much is time itself heals, of course. We know that the role of God in people's lives has played a big role in that as well.
Mm.
Especially inspired through people like Rachel Scott and Cassie Bernal and John Tomlin, who are very serious, devout Christians who were murdered for their faith at Columbine in one form or another.
Mm.
And that has gone on, especially Rachel Scott. Her story, her life and legacy alone has changed millions. I mean, you go to the website and witness that. Her father and mother speak regularly around the world. Just amazing miracles have happened there. But beyond that, the Columbine Memorial, since its completion, I think has played a role in the healing because it kind of brought everything to a close. It kind of brought everything to a close because it's like a physical representation, a monument, an iconic monument that's there that, okay, it's frozen in time. Kind of like kryptonite in Star Wars. It's there, and now they can move on. You know, the healing can continue in the next layer. There's layers of healing, of course. You never fully recover from this. It's just a matter of coping with it.
Yeah. Look, it's going to be an enormously stressful couple of days, I'm sure, as people relive these events. Good to speak to you, Michael Tamborello. The website is www.lullabyforcolumbine.com. You can go there and have a look and just see how the community is coping and some of the projects associated with the event itself. Good to speak to you, Michael.
Right. I also recommend lfcnews.com because that's where the real action is. We just put up a 10-year anniversary edition.
Okay, lfcnews.com.
That's the
one. Good on you, Michael.